and the veil of darkness fell. The Word was, the Word is, the Word will be forever and ever. The Word was, the Word is. Kingdoms will crumble and riches will fade, but the Word of God will reign, and the Church of Christ will say,
I'm not afraid to die. How many believes he's coming back for you?
Amen.
Amen. That's good. Let's let the musicians go ahead and have their seats. Good to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. Beautiful day outside. Beautiful day inside. Good to see each one of you. Again, Brother Dylan, congratulations. It's good to see you all with us this morning. Just pray that you feel very much at home because you are your family. So just remember those that are sick, those that are missing this morning. I know my Aunt Mary, but she streams. This is still her church. She just had to move away for a while, but she's just waiting for a place to open up here in town that she can move back. So just remember her. Remember my family in the passing of my cousin, James Moore, passed away Friday night. So just remember the family. He's just a few years younger than me. And it's one of those things where just need the Lord to touch the family and help them understand that God is God and He does all things well. And so just pray for, remember that request. Amen. So just go ahead and open our Bibles. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'm going to say this way, you know, like in football, I'm going to throw you a really long pass this morning, so you need to run out really far. And I'm sure the Lord will give you a good touchdown this morning. And so sometimes we need a good thing like that, right?
Yeah.
And so, Lord, forgive me for bringing in more things, you know, like that. But Paul did it. So anyway, I don't mean necessarily it's going to take a long time, but we're going to cover some territory. And so I would recommend that every one of you, as I cover a lot of territory, most of you will know these things. Some of them you may not. But I would suggest that you search the scriptures daily to see if these things are so, like we did in the book of Acts.
Yeah.
Because God is redeeming his people by his word.
Amen.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. And so it would behoove us to find out what his word is saying.
Amen.
And then not to walk away from it, which we know that the world really just would anoint us to try and do that. But the scripture tells us that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and then we're cleansed by his blood. And so, but you know, the light moves, right? It moves throughout the ages. It moves throughout the day. And no man can work when it's dark. And so we want to just make sure that as the light of God is moved, and wherever it is today, that that's where we are. And if we're there, then that means we have access to the blood and we have fellowship one with another. And so this is going to be part three of When That Which Is Perfect Has Come. But today I want to give it a subtitle. It's Keeping the Way of the Tree of Life. And so I know that maybe somebody might feel like I'm picking on Pentecost or something like that. It's not what it is at all. I have somewhere where we're going with this today. And like I said, it's a long pass, so you just pray, and the Lord will get us there where we need to be, and you'll be able to see some things that will be helpful for you. Amen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, Paul speaking, he said, "Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels," that's supernatural, right, supernatural voice of words, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, and have not charity, which is love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal." I wouldn't be anything than just an instrument being struck, making a noise. "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." So we can see by that we need charity. Mm-hmm. Amen. "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own." Notice it's a her.
Mm-hmm.
"Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." A lot of times we want to throw our hands up and quit, right? But charity doesn't do that. "Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there or it be tongues, they shall cease, and whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, this is Paul speaking in his day, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part, not complete, not full. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with.
Right.
When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then, talking about this one, when that which is perfect is come, but then, face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. One more scripture, Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. You'll have it up here so we can go through it quickly. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision, that would be Jews, availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, that's Gentiles. Neither circumcision availeth anything, or uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Amen. Faith which worketh by love. Charity. Let's pray for a moment. Lord, we just want to ask God that you would just come and just anoint each one of us, Lord. We can hear your word, speak your word, then go live your word. We love you, Lord. We just pray that you touch each one. Those that are missing today because they're ill and all the different purposes, those that are hurting in their hearts, we ask God that you'd give them a special blessing of your presence. Lord, that you would confirm your presence, your word, your healing power, your comforting power to each one, Lord. And God, in this service this morning, Lord, that you would just take every spirit, put it under your control. I give it to you now in the name of Jesus Christ and ask God that you'd speak your word right to the hearts of your people this morning. We love you, Lord. We trust you. We commit this time into your hands and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, when you want to find out something really bad, you've probably heard this before, but, you know, to find out something, you could ask these five questions. The questions are who, what, where, when, where, and why. You've ever heard that? Because if you'll ask those questions, you'll find out pretty much all the details about it. And so we know that God does everything perfect. Amen? And so I had a few amens. God does everything perfect.
Amen.
And he is perfect. And so it should not surprise us that when God said he's going to have a bride that is without spot, without blemish, without any wrinkle or any such thing, right? Everything God does, he does perfect, he does well. And so if he says he's going to have a church that is a bride that's without spot or blemish or any such thing, it should not surprise us that he's going to do that. And like I said, well, how's he going to do it? If you want to know, ask the question, who, what, where, when, and why. How's he going to do this? Because he's the one that's doing this, and so it shouldn't be a surprise. And then when he does have this church that is a perfect church that he says he's going to have, then that's the church that becomes his bride, right? And so we must remember that a church is just a church until he takes her and says, now you're mine,
right,
and marries her. She's just a church, and there's no different than any other, right? All the sisters, all the other sisters, you're no different, but my wife is my wife,
yeah,
right? And so a church is just a church. They might worship. A concubine is just a concubine. She's not queen. But a church is just church until he makes a move and he says she's the one.
Right.
And then when he does it, not when people proclaim it, but when he does it,
mm-hmm,
right, and he vindicates and he shows that it's her,
right,
then she's no longer church. She's bride. And then you can hear him say, I'm going to call you bride so that you understand you're my wife now. I want you to know that you're my wife now.
Right.
Amen. And so we know that there's a perfect bride. I think she's present now, and I think that we know there's, the scripture said there's going to be a bride, and the scripture said there's going to be a wedding. There's going to be a wedding supper. We know this because the Bible plainly says it.
Right.
So there's no question about that. And so we should ask these five questions then. Well, who's this bride going to be? How's this going to happen? Where is this going to take place? How's it going to unfold?
Yeah.
Because these answers to these questions are right here in the Bible.
Right.
You know, God gives us a way to live and to follow these things, but man doesn't want God's way. He goes out and tries to create his own way. But if we could just find God's program, because this is his program,
yeah.
Right? This is his universe that he created,
right?
It's his plan of redemption.
Right.
It's his subjects. It's his bride. It's his people. Mm-hmm. It's his atonement. It's not ours. This stuff does not belong to us. Like I said the other night, what do we have that wasn't given to us?
Right.
You say, well, I did it. You know, you didn't. God helped you do those things. He gave those things to you.
Right.
And so we know that. And so we should ask these questions. And God's word has the answers to these things. And we need to remember something also, that the word perfection, you know, to us, perfect, it means that without blemish, without any failures or anything like that. And if you're thinking that we as people, even as redeemed people, even as the bride, if you think we're going to come to the place in this flesh where we have sinless perfection, it's not going to happen, because this is always there going to be there. You're always going to have that fight, always going to have that struggle. There's only one who really made it. Alright? And that's why he's our Redeemer.
Right.
Because we needed him. If we could get good enough, then his blood didn't do no good for us. See,
right.
So it's not us. It's not about us. It's all about him,
right?
And we got to quit putting it on us. Put it on him, because that's what he wants. And so, perfection in God's economy, in this context of what we're talking about, when that which is perfect has come, is not talking about us coming to the place where we never make a mistake,
right?
That's not what it's talking about. But what he's talking about is coming to completion.
Amen.
Fully complete. So he's going to have a church, and he's going to move through his word, and he's finally going to get a church where that church comes to what he calls perfect.
Right?
Because and so when she gets to the place where she's perfect, well then obviously now he can unite with her. Right? But so how does that work? And so it is when she is fully believing his word.
Right?
You know, we've talked about it in the messages to the seven churches, the seven church ages. He never said to them, I have somewhat against you because you smoke or you drink or you cuss or you do this. Every one of them, if you look at there, the whole thing through all the seven ages, the problem that he had with his churches was the first age, because you've left your first love, your first love to the word.
Right.
You left that. And I have a problem because you suffer that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, as a false church, to teach and seduce my servants. So all the things there that he was speaking about that he had problems with was when they were believing the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing spiritually, gospel-wise, right? They were, and so, as I've said before, if we can believe the right thing, the atonement will take care of it all.
Right.
If we can, if the portion of word that God is pouring out for the age, if we can believe that, because that word will be Jesus Christ in flesh, made flesh among us, right? Like it was 2,000 years ago, but he's in flesh among us today.
Right.
He's in flesh among us in this room today, right now. And if we can just catch that word, Christ on display, and believe what he is giving to his church in a given hour, then we have access. That's the light. And we can walk in that, and we have access to the blood. If we can just believe that word, then all of our sins and all of our failures, all that's taken away, because that blood is a perfect blood.
Right.
Takes away all of our sins, iniquities, and transgressions, trespasses, and uncleanness. Takes away all those things. But we've got to believe that word that gives us access to it. And in our day to day, that access is not, oh, I believe there was a man 2,000 years ago that walked up and down the shores of Galilee that hung on a cross. To have access to that, we have to know what he's doing today in the form of the Holy Spirit in his church. That's how we have access currently, what he's doing now. Amen? And so, if we can believe the right thing, then his atonement takes care of those things. But if you believe false doctrine, if you're letting the woman Jezebel teach false things to you, and you're going out and living the way that the false church would have you to do it, you don't have access. Right? Why? Because it's not his word. It's something else. It has to be his word. See? That's how we'll overcome. And so, but you know, coming to a perfect bride to is believing this full word. That can't happen until the full word's been given. And we know the scripture tells us that there'd be a falling away, but then God would bring this, bring a restoration of truth. He'd bring these things back. And so there could never be, through Luther and Wesley and Pentecost, there could never be a perfect church. Those were all in part because God hadn't restored that much truth yet.
Right.
But once he restores that much truth, now if she can believe that current truth that's fully been manifested, then she can become that perfect bride church. A people believing in the perfect word
right.
makes her a perfect bride.
Amen.
And couldn't be any other day until our day.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
And once she believes that, then he can say, now, that's the one I can marry. That's the one I can join with. And I know that in my future home, there won't be contentions because she believes everything that I am.
Yeah.
Because
right.
he's the word.
Amen.
Amen. And so it's a complete bride, perfect bride, when she believes the full word. Now that it's been given, we believe it has. And I say this, we know that after the bride raptures, he's going to deal with the Jews. But everything that we need as the bride of Christ, as a Gentile people to become that bride, has been given.
Right.
That word's been revealed. Now all we have to do is move into believing that and letting that become manifest in us, and then he'll take this Gentile bride home. Amen? So, otherwise, previous ages would have already gone because they weren't there yet. Right? So, like I said, this is his creation, his plan, his redemption. We're his subject, his choice. He knows all about his own work. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to unfold these things. So, Paul said, when that which is perfect has come, and I was talking about, you know, it goes beyond Martin Luther, John Wesley, Pentecost, which is the restoration of gifts. Been talking about how it goes beyond, as Brother Graham talked about, the plant, the wheat plant coming up. It comes up first, it's a blade. Then it turns into the tassel. Then it turns into what is a shuck that holds the seed, but then the shuck pulls away, and then the real wheat seed is left. And he typed that out, how that Luther was that blade. Wesley was the tassel. That was the greatest missionary age because the tassel, that's where it spreads the pollen.
Right.
A missionary.
Right.
Right? These things are history.
Right.
These things are Bible. God knows how to prove his word.
Right.
And so he tells us that Pentecost, when you look at it, it looks like grain
mm-hmm.
early on. But after a while, you find out there's the grains. It's not the grain. The grain is actually inside there. And then after a while, the heat of the sun, the hard, hot summer sun, is so hot that shuck says, I can't stand it. And it pulls away and it withers away. It can't handle the meat of the word. But that wheat stands there, and though it's not ready for rapture, it stands there, and that sun just bakes all of the things out of that wheat that keeps it from going into rapture, just bakes it all out, takes all the greenness out of it, and gets it ready to go into the barn, into the garner.
Right.
Right? And so, when I say that which is perfect has come, I've been talking about this, it goes beyond Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost. It has to go all the way to the seed word. A group of people just like the original seed that was planted.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That planted Jesus Christ, went into the ground and resurrected and all that whole process. And now here at the end time, there will be a bride church. There will be word of his word, seed of his seed, gene of his gene. Right? Because
right.
she come from the same place he did. We talked about that.
Amen.
Scripture proves that. And so we know that. And so, coming to full word is what we've been talking about. And in that particular condition we're speaking of, then it's no longer in part. It's perfect. Because why? It's one with Christ, the word, at that time. And Paul tells us, as we read there just a little while ago, he said, that'll be a time when we will know as we are known. in Paul's day, even any day, who knows you better than you know yourself? Who knows you better than anybody else does? God does.
Right.
So when Paul says, listen, right now we see darkly. We don't understand. Everything we have is in part. But there's coming a day where we're going to see clearly.
Yeah.
And we're going to know as we are known. Yeah. And I think I said the other day, to me that speaks of the opening of the seals, because that sealed book was a book of redemption. It had the names of the redeemed on it. And you couldn't read the names of the redeemed until those seals were broken.
Right.
Once you break the seals, now you can see the names that are on there. Mm-hmm. And then that book is not open to God, because God knows who's on it.
Right.
That book has to be open to us. So when that book becomes open to us, now we can know as we're known.
Right.
So it's speaking of the revelation of the word coming, and it's not going to a book that's open and it says, you know, Dylan Burns or Daniel Black or Vicky Black. That's not what it says,
right.
But it's a revelation of the life they lived.
Because
if you think about it, if you say, oh, here's brother so-and-so, immediately you think of the life and the person that lived. It's just a name is all it is a title to that life.
Right.
So I could say the person who lives at such and such Avalon place, you know, then I'm talking about the life, and you know, oh, it's Daniel. Right? So the book of life, when those seals open, it's not reading names, but the seal is revealing the life that was lived through the ages, and then everyone knows, hey, that was me, because that's the life I lived. And so I know he's identified my life.
Yeah, right.
So I know I'm in the book.
Yeah.
Because he has done that. And so we know that's the way it works. It's a time when we will know as we are known. And as we go through this, I want to show you, this is speaking of the bride. Like I said a while ago, Charity, what she, it's a her.
Yeah.
Not a him. It's a her. It's the bride. And as I go through this, I want you to notice the accumulation of all the truths that this end time message has brought to us. Things that we know, and when you go outside of message churches, they don't talk about these things. They don't know it. They don't care to know it.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything to them.
Right.
But inside, there's so many, and they're right here in the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And so I want you to notice an accumulation of all these things that God has brought to us and how they all come together and they fit to show this whole program.
Right.
And what God is doing in our day. And then as you look and notice all that, I want you to let those revelations, all those things accumulate in your revelation so that you can be built up in knowing what God has done in this day for you. Because these truths were given for a reason. God did not send them just to be rattling. They mean something. They fit somewhere in this. And so we're going to be talking about a lot of those this morning. You pray for me. We know that in the Garden of Eden, when man fell, God, you know, he drove Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. And the scripture said that he placed in the Garden of Eden there at eastward in Eden at the gate, cherubim. It said he placed cherubim with flaming swords, and it said to keep the way of the tree of life. Now you know if a man can eat of the tree of life, he'll live forever. And we know at the end in Revelation, we find that that tree of life is there, and its leaves are for the healing of nations. And so God didn't lose the tree of life.
Right. Yeah.
He kept it.
Right.
He kept the way of the tree of life. He had it in the garden. He's going to restore us back to that. But during that time, and there has to be a way to get us back to that condition in Eden. That's where the presence of God was. That's where they would live forever.
Yeah, right.
Right? And so that's where they were. And so God didn't lose it. And so he had this way that he was not going to lose the way to the tree of life. And so he put a program into place. And so the way that he's going to keep the way of tree to the tree of life was by cherubims.
Mm-hmm.
These cherubims were there, and we realize they're like gatekeepers or whatever. It wasn't so much that they're not going to let anybody have access, but they're going to fit. They're going to say, you got to pass the test If you want to have access to the tree of life, if you want to have the presence of God in your life, you gotta come through the cherubims.
Right.
Right? So they won't let just anybody, because remember, Rabbi said, life is a sacred thing to God.
Yeah.
And he won't just give it to anybody, right? It's a sacred thing, and he wrote it in a book.
Right.
What he was saying. And so these cherubims were there, and it looked like, oh, you know, nobody can have access to this. But as we go through and we find out, their purpose just was to keep the way of the tree of life. Not to destroy it, preserve it. Don't let it be defiled.
Yeah.
There's a holy way of getting back into Eden, right, getting back into the presence of God. And these cherubims are there to make sure that way is kept, keeping the way to the tree of life. And it was cherubims. We know in the book of Ezekiel that Ezekiel describes these cherubims. And he says that they have four faces. They're strange looking creatures if you go by the description. But God can make it look however he wants, right? But you have to realize all of these, they all mean something to God.
Right.
He's not just saying that these cherubims had four faces just because he's like, man, he's confused. Why is there four faces? They're there for a reason,
right?
And so he identifies that they are cherubims, and he ties these cherubims to these four faces, a face of a lion, a face of a calf or an ox. I'll use those interchangeably because they're you know, a cow or whatever. A face of an ox, face of a man, and the fourth one, well, the face of an eagle. So these cherubims had these four faces. And Ezekiel was saying that this is the way I could picture it, you know, that there's a face in each direction. And Ezekiel said, and I've talked about this before, he said, they didn't turn when they went.
Right.
Every face, it went forward. So if they would move, they'd move this way or like this. They wouldn't do this.
Right?
Right? And so, if they wanted to advance this way, being northward, that's north, that's east, west, south, and north in this room, okay? And so if you looked at this cherubim standing there, then on this side facing northward was the eagle, face of an eagle.
Right.
On this side over here was the face of the man. The east was the lion, and the west was the ox. And so if he was going to move forward, move northward, he would always be in the power of an eagle.
Right.
Or if he was going to move southward, away from the presence of God in the north, mm-hmm, was just a man. Because mm-hmm, that's where man takes you.
Right.
Wisdom of man might be fine, and God can use that, okay? But if they would go to move eastward, it was the lion. Lion of the tribe of Judah, which we understand that. Westward was an ox. And so you'll find out that these cherubims there, they were protecting in the Garden of Eden. They were protecting, or they were shadowing the mercy seat. They were shadowing the presence of God. Remember in the tabernacle when they had the ark, the covenant, the presence of God. He said, I'll meet you right there above the mercy seat between the cherubims. Those cherubims were covering. Lucifer used to be one of those covering cherubims. Right? That's why I sang the other day that when somebody would come to the presence of God, they'd have to come through him. Because he was a covering cherub. So if you want to get into the Garden of Eden, you have to go through the cherubims. If you want to get to the presence of God while redemption is taking place, you have to go through a cherubim. And they're identified as having a face of a lion, ox, man, and eagle. The lion is a king. He's bold. Right? But an ox or a calf is a beast of sacrifice.
Yeah.
Right? You know what a man is. Mm-hmm. And of course, in the scriptures, the eagle, God represents himself. He calls himself an eagle and calls his prophets eagles. So an eagle represents prophetic.
Right.
Okay? I know this is rehearsed for a lot of you, but I'm going somewhere with this, okay?
Yeah.
And so you just keep praying that the Lord keep me moving here. And so they wouldn't turn as they would go. And so we realize that if God wanted to conquer, he could go out this way as a lion and could conquer. But if he wanted to represent himself as a sacrifice, Well, then it would be the opposite of that. Opposite of conquer would be a sacrifice, would be an ox.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Now, if he wanted to go, if he wanted to use the intellect of man, well, then he could move this way with the face of man and do whatever he's going to do through man, because he can do that too. But the opposite of man's wisdom and man's intellect that God can use, the opposite of that is prophetic. Follow me? So God knows how to move, and he knows how to interact and conquer every enemy that would try to come in and get to destroy the presence of God. He knows how to protect it. He knows how to keep the way of the tree of life. And so there were ages where he was going out conquering the early church. There was ages where he was dying through martyrdom, the Dark Ages.
Yeah.
There was an age when he would go this way through Luther and Wesley, through the intellect of man, and print Bibles when their man got smart enough to do that. But you realize that there's also another way, and that's where he can combat with the swiftness of a flying eagle. That's why those cherubims were represented right there at the Garden of Eden to protect and keep the way of the tree alive, was those cherubims. There's only four of them. Not five, not three, four. And they go in that order, as we'll see. Lion, ox, or calf, man, and the last one is eagle. Amen. Each one of those faces was an expression on how God was keeping the way to the tree of life. And so we can understand that, because the presence of God was being overshadowed with them. We find out later on, after the Garden of Eden, later on in the Exodus, when the children of Israel were traveling, and they had the tabernacle in the wilderness, the tabernacle where the presence of God would be, that when the children of Israel would pitch that, the pillar of fire would go, and when it would move, they'd move with it, and when it would stop, they would stop. That's why I said a while ago, we have to keep moving with the light. When the gospel is unfolding more truth, we got to go with it. So they would take, and they would, when the pillar of fire would stop, they'd pitch the tent, and the tabernacle would be in the middle, and there were 12 tribes that would pitch all their camps all around. You've seen the pictures of them. We can show it to you. Three tribes on each side. But each side, those the three that was on, say, the east side, that those three tribes, one of them was the tribe of Judah. I don't remember the other ones, but the tribe of Judah, the banner for the whole three was the banner of a lion.
Yeah.
Right. The opposite side, the group over there, their banner was an ox. Mm-hmm. South side was that of a man. And the north side was the banner of an eagle.
Right.
It was an inside, a banner.
Yeah.
Right? Why? And so any enemy that wanted to try to come in would have to go through either the lion, the ox, the man, or the eagle, from whichever direction they were coming from. They'd have to, and so if you wanted access to God, you'd have to go through one of those cherubims, right? One of those symbols.
That's right.
Right? To get access to God, to get access to Eden.
Yeah.
Get access to the tree of life. Get access to eternal life. Mm-hmm. You'd have to go through one of those.
Right.
It's the only way you could get there. And so God had that laying that way, and like I said, it was a lion, an ox, man, and eagle. And what was God doing? He was still keeping the way of the tree of life.
That's right.
Nobody could get in there where the presence of God was, except those blind, ox, man, and eagle were there.
Right.
Amen? Now, when Ezekiel saw these cherubims, just to show you and prove you what I'm talking about, Ezekiel said he looked and he saw in the north. So he's facing this way and he's looked. And here this thing comes, this fire enfolding itself, and these cherubims come. And he said, it's coming, and it had the face of a man. Right, because facing southward would be the face of man. So when this cherubim come to him, there was a face of man. And he said, on the right side was that of a lion. Mm-hmm. And he said, the left side was that of a ox or a calf. Mm-hmm. And then just by deduction, you would know the one on the other side would be the eagle.
Right.
So even he showed that these cherubims. And so there, those faces are there for a reason. Mm-hmm. As we'll get a little further and explain what those are. Those faces, what they mean, are there for a reason. And so even Ezekiel proved it. Scripture can interpret, and you know, Scripture for itself. So now we move all the way forward into the New Testament. And in the New Testament, it opens up with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Right? They're the first four Gospels. And they all tell the story about Jesus here on earth and all the things he did. And you'll find the same stories in a lot of them. Right? You'll see them. And you know, and so you have to understand, each man will tell what he saw Jesus do and what he saw happen through his own nature and his own character. He'd just say it the way he could see it.
Yep.
And so you find out Matthew was a tax collector, so he worked for the king. Right?
Yeah.
So Matthew, you find out Matthew's symbol was the lion. And Matthew, when he wrote his, he took careful to write about the genealogy, and it was all about king. So even Matthew's nature was had the symbol of the lion, the king. Mm-hmm. Right? And so when you get Mark, Mark's comments, his writings was all about the Lamb of God. A sacrifice, ox, right? You get to Luke. Luke was a physician.
Yep.
So you know, he's pretty smart.
Yep.
His was a man. His symbol was a man. Mm-hmm. Right? They had signets where their rings would have you know, where they could seal stuff or whatever. And so, but then you find out that John would have been the eagle. Mm-hmm. And that's why I appreciate Brother Tim's song there, because it'll go right with what I'm saying this morning. Matthew, Mark, Luke, they all talk. But what did John start? When he opens up his book, he didn't say, well, in the days of Herod and John the Baptist, and he was doing all this and the Messiah, you know. No, John opens up by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and it was God.
That's right.
And we can clearly see there's something different about John than what Matthew, Mark, and Luke had.
Right.
But you see, all four of those had their own nature.
Yeah.
They saw it and wrote it the way they were anointed.
That's right.
And there's those four cherubims again. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are surrounded the book of Acts, because the book of Acts is actually a record of everything that the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John told. Oh, Jesus came. He was the Messiah. He was going to die for our sins. The Holy Ghost was going to come back. But then the book of Acts records actually the Holy Ghost coming back into the church. And it wasn't Acts of the Apostles, it was Acts of the Holy Spirit in the Apostles.
That's right.
But the book of Acts was proof of everything that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John had talked about.
That's right.
Right? But you cannot have access to a book of Acts experience of coming right back into Eden, into the presence of God and the Holy Ghost, unless you come through the gospel of the teaching of what they have said.
Yep.
So there again, the presence of God was protected by those four faces, cherubims. What was God doing? Keeping the way of the tree of life.
Right.
Still with us.
Yep.
Protected.
Right?
Right? He wants that people have access to it. He's not just going to let anybody have it.
Right.
It's going to be those who can come through. And you have to understand that you can't come up to John and say, I don't believe that. You've got to believe what John said if you're going to pass through and get access to the book of Acts experience.
Right. Yep.
Same way with Matthew, Mark, Luke.
Right.
You can't have access until you go through those. Mm-hmm. And those, there are dispensations to those. Okay? There are dispensations for those. So on a given day, there'd only be one of those. And for us in this day, I'll go ahead and tell you now, our access today can only go through the eagle.
Right.
We cannot access a book of Acts, Holy Ghost filled experience of God in our lives, trying to go through Matthew, Mark, or Luke. It has to be John.
Yeah.
It cannot be the lion, the ox, or the man. It has to be an eagle prophetic message. That's the only way to get access to the tree of life today. Because they're dispensational.
Right.
Now we can stand back and say, oh, you know, I think we do have Matthew. No, God has proved it. That if you accept God just on the basis of those first three, you're not getting anywhere. In this hour, it is a prophetic word that has come from the Lord that gives us access back to that blood, back to those truths, back to the tree of life.
Amen.
Amen. That's how it comes. Amen. You find where I am here. So, God's still keeping the way of the tree of life. Then we find out in our day, come on all the way forward, we find out that when the seals were opened, as I said, the Book of Life was the names and so forth. When those seals were opened, we find out that, read it in your Bible. Like I said, search the scriptures to see if these things are so. I can say these things to you because I've looked at it, I've studied, I know it's there, and I'll help you look at it if you want to see it. It's there. And so, when the seals were opened, the scripture said there, in Revelation 5, I believe it is, and six chapters where the seals were opened, but in 4 and 5, you see this scene in heaven. And there are four living creatures. Not five. Not three. Four. And one had a face of a lion, one ox, one man, one eagle.
Right.
There they are again.
Right.
So, And these, it said the first beast said, come and see. And the first seal was opened and it shows that the white horse rider went. And so what you want to see there is that cherubim or that living creature, as Brother Branham explained, it said not untamed beast, like a wolf or something, but a living creature. It was a different translation there. A living creature. And the first one, which was the lion, was the one that introduced to us the opening of the first seal. So the lion had something to do about revealing what was laying behind the first seal. And we realized the first seal was when the Antichrist went out riding on his white horse trying to act like Christ, trying to deceive the early church.
Right.
Right? And the life that God had in the church in that day that combated that movement was the anointing of the lion, the boldness of the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's why that lion introduced that particular seal. Because that seal was revealing of, in that day, who was redeemed and how they were redeemed, who, what, when, where, and how, and why. That seal was showing who it was. Why? They were redeemed because they came through the lion of the tribe of Judah. They came through that anointing. Like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those four, you know. That's how they got it. And that's why their names, that's why the life of their name was laying behind the first seal, was because they had gained access to that anointing of that early church, which is the line of the tribe of Judah. Then the scripture said, the second beast said, come see. And what he showed there was a red horse. That took, remember, a prophetic, in the days of a prophetic, now we can know things that we didn't know in all the other three ages. And so you see, the church well might have thought that first horse rider was Christ, but I thought, no, it wasn't. When it was revealed, it wasn't Christ. It was Antichrist acting like Christ.
Right.
Then when the second one goes out, and he was a red horse, and he went out, and he's killing and so forth, and the revelation showed us that it was the same rider,
right,
got off his white deception horse trying to deceive people. And when he got a big enough church started and enough system where he had church and state united, and then he had armies and power and stuff, now he could show his true colors. He got off of that deception trying to deceive people, and he just flat out come out and started killing them.
That's right.
That was it. And so the people in that day met that challenge when they were anointed with the spirit of an ox, or to give their lives.
That's right.
And history shows that they were glad to die. Mm-hmm. They embraced that because it was a different anointing. Why? Early on, they couldn't stop it. Why? Because the lion had to go out and conquer and get this gospel out there. But it came to the place where that seed had to go in the ground and die. They had to go through martyrdom. A dark ages looked like it was lost. So it had to switch from the lion to the ox.
That's right.
A different face, a different anointing. Mm-hmm. And that's what had to happen. And it did, and history shows it.
Right.
After that, the third one, third beast comes and he introduces the third seal. That one was a black horse. And that was the one where he was mad, had three measures a week for a penny, and a measure, or three measures of barley for a penny, and forget how it said it, measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And so he's going out, and the anointing to open that up would have been the third beast, so that would have been the man. The anointing of the man, the portion of the cherubim, it was a man. And so after dark ages, Luther raised up with the understanding that just shall live by faith, and just with an intellect of man, and they began to print Bibles at that time, begin to circulate, and so forth. He contested the Catholic Church just under that anointing. Wasn't prophetic yet.
Right.
But I'm showing you that these cherubims were all through history, the New Testament history, and God's program is unfolding, and he's showing us how he was keeping the way to the tree of life. God used Martin Luther, a man who smoked a pipe and cussed, because he wasn't required at that time. That revelation hadn't been given yet.
Right.
Not that you had to live holy. But God used him to help keep the way of the tree of life. Because
yeah.
He had that anointing on him. And the church, not just him, but the church. And so you see how this is working. So those four beasts, obviously the last one would be the eagle. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this will become clear in just a moment, but remember, the eagle is Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John was the eagle. John knew things the rest didn't.
Mm-hmm.
John understood things that the rest didn't understand.
Yeah.
He could open up his scripture and say, in the beginning was the Word. And if you read John is totally different than the rest.
Yeah, right.
I love the book of John because it's the bride's book.
Right.
It means so much to us. Not that those have, they're there, but you understand there's something greater that's unfolding. And so you'll find out those horse riders, first, second, third, fourth, it was the same spirit, Antichrist spirit, riding from one horse to the next, to the next. But it never gave his name
right. Under
the first, second, and third horse rider. In other words, the lion didn't know the name. The ox didn't know the name, right? The man didn't know the name. But under the eagle message, now it gives the name of who this guy is.
That's right.
Who this rider is.
Mm-hmm.
His name is called Death.
Yep.
And hell follows him.
Yep.
He was given a name. Why was he given a name then? Because it was under the eagle.
Amen.
It was underneath John.
Yep.
Who knew things that the rest didn't know.
Yep.
So, see, as we're passing through the ages, now we come to a time where God is giving to his church the things that they're supposed to know that they weren't able to know.
Right.
We don't criticize previous churches.
No.
They couldn't know.
No.
But what about now when they can?
Right.
When it's been vindicated?
Right.
When you can see just by what I'm talking about this morning that there is a way to the tree of life, and this end time message is access to that tree of life. Amen. We're in that dispensation now. And so, what was God doing? Keeping the way of the tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
Through cherubims. Mm-hmm. Through the identification. Though God, before the world was, he said, now, this is what I'm going to do. I know that my redemption is going to come through lion, ox, man, eagle.
Mm-hmm.
Through boldness, through martyrdom, through intellect, through prophecy. So he says, he created them to have those faces, knowing. And he made it so that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John would have that. And all those tribes that pitch around and all that was it's God's program to show the way to the tree of life. And I'm saying this because this is that which is perfect. She'll come, right?
Yeah.
This is what we're talking about. Amen. You see where I am here. People's names were on that book. And so to find out, as I said, to find out who was under the first seal, it would take the life that those people had to come and say, let me show you who was there under the first seal. So it was that beast, that life, that revealed it.
Yeah.
So the same thing, come all the way down at the end, how do you know who the end time believers are? It'll be a prophetic ministry. It'll be the anointing of the eagle, and it will introduce, and by the way, underneath that ministry, he'll begin to tell you things you didn't know all the rest of the time.
Right.
And he'll tell you, this is dead. This is organized religion. This is that Catholic system, and come down into the Protestants. It's all the mother whore and her harlots. We know that now, but in previous ages they didn't know it. Why? Because we're under a prophetic age now. God is showing these things to us. So, history proves the sequence of what I'm talking about. So, Church Age book goes through it too. Same thing. Church Age book and seals. Just lay right there. Tell them the same story. So those people's names were revealed when those, when the seals was opened. That's why those were, those anointings were there, and they were four anointings on the church. So Martin Luther was the man. He kicked off the man age, the anointing of the man. So when in Luther's day, the lion was already done. That ministry, that cherubim was already done. The ox was already done. It kicked off that of a man, Luther and Wesley, right through there. But the next and the last one is the eagle. Mm-hmm. There's not any more after that.
Right.
Right? There's no more cherubims, no more faces, no more anointings on the church, because the last one is all God needs. He used those four: life, death, burial, resurrection, rapture. Sequence. See how he's doing? We're like, oh, I want a rapture. And you're focused on a body being physically changed. Wait a minute. What about being raptured into the word of your day that begins to quicken you? Because it's the word. It's the word that's forever. It always will be, as Brother Tim's song. And the bride is the one that knows that. John is the one that knew that. Amen. So Luther's, you know, that was it. And so there's no more. Now that the last one's here, the eagle, there's no more. There's not another access. There's not another way. The enemy is not trying to attack the church through lion, ox, or man. He's got them. Why? Because they're trying to live in a previous day. If people are trying to live in a previous day, they already don't have access to the tree of life. They already don't have access to the blood. Why? Because there's current, present word that's been revealed and vindicated, and they refuse to take it. Right? So they're in some other age, which though in those ages was real, true word, but God has moved. The light has moved. And so because they're now living in a previous day and can't accept what God's doing now, they've lost access. Right? So God, Satan's not even, he got them. But his battle is, don't you believe this prophetic word.
Yeah.
You can't. So he's there combating that, right? Because that's the access we have.
Right.
We don't have access some other way. It's today, the word today.
Right.
That's the access that we have to the tree of life. Like that. And so, overcoming power today comes through the eagle anointing. So now, eagles, I said, I'm throwing a long pass. We're about three-fourths of the way downfield. I'm hoping you're getting down there to catch it. Right? All right? So eagles, this last age anointing, cherubim, anointing on his church for overcoming power, was identified as an eagle, a flying eagle.
Right.
So God does things for a reason. Why was it a lion? Because he was bold. Nobody messed with him. He did what he wanted.
Yeah.
Right? Why a calf? Well, because it'd be the sacrifice. See, the symbols mean something. So what does the eagle mean? Well, it's just an eagle. It's a flying eagle. What does it mean?
Yeah.
Well, just we're looking at the nature of a lion and why that would represent the gospel in that day, or the ox or the man. So what about the eagle makes the types the church?
Yeah.
What about, and so just... just a few points. We've talked about this, but to accumulate this all together, to think about this. See, an eagle can see further than all the rest. You ever looked at an eagle's eyes? Man, it's, I tell you, I mean, it just looks like it can look right through you.
Yeah.
Because eagles can fly higher, and as Brother Ram said, why? Well, if he flew really high and couldn't see, what good would it do him? I'd really like to know what power of Zoom or whatever they have, how their eye works, just what that would be equivalent to, be like a telescope. Because they can see.
Sure.
But my point is, they can see further, which means they have revelation more further. They can see more further than any of the rest.
Right?
Right? That's one character. The eagle will feed their young meat,
yeah,
not milk.
That's right.
Right? The lion, milk. Ox or calf, milk. Man, what do you feed your little bitty babies when they're for milk?
That's right.
Right? Not the eagle.
That's right.
Let's open in the scriptures to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9 through 14. I want to show you the significance of being able to eat meat and not milk. Speaking of Christ being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Call of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. This is Paul speaking to the Hebrews. They should know these things, right? Mm-hmm. Of whom we have many things to say, but hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. He said, I'd like to tell you a whole lot more, but you can't receive it.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's a different age.
Right.
What about now, though? Mm-hmm. Can we receive it now?
Yeah.
Look what he says. For the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the principles of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of meat. So Paul is saying, you know, because you can't receive the strength of the word, you need milk.
Yeah.
You can't handle a T-bone steak.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can't handle meat, you've got to have milk. So it says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe.
Right.
I tell you what, you brothers, get up and drink you a big old glass of milk for breakfast and let that be all that you have, and then go out and try and build fence posts, do fence every day, all day.
Right.
And see how far that milk gets you.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. You need meat. It needs something. It says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are what? Those that are in part? No, those that are full. Those that are complete.
That's right.
Follow me? Strong meat cometh under the eagle. Right at the end, strong meat cometh those of full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, to be able to tell the two spirits in the framework of the church, both good and evil.
Right.
Able to do it. See, it's all talking about that which is perfect will come when the bride, when she comes to that place. Amen?
Amen.
Exercising both the good and evil. Amen. So, eagles fly. The lion can't fly. The ox can't fly. Man can't fly. But the eagles can fly. So that speaks of rapture.
Uh-huh.
Right? The eagle can renew their youth. Right? Lion, ox, man can't do that. But an eagle can renew their youth. That speaks of going back young again. Their body changed.
Mm-hmm.
See? That's why these things are listed as under an eagle. So God is keeping the way of the tree of life. But the keeping of the way of the tree of life finishes underneath the eagle. Cherubim. Mm-hmm. Eagle anointing. It finishes. Why? Because when that age is done, he raptures his church. There's no more need of access and all, because he's already redeemed them all the needed access. See? I know he's got other things for the Jews and all that, but we're talking bride. This is the New Testament Gentile bride that these things are all unfolding. And so now let's focus on John real quick. I'm going to try and be done here just in the next 2 hours maybe. No, I'm sick. John was the eagle. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John was the eagle. And the Bible said that John, the scripture said, one whom Jesus loved.
Yeah.
Talking about John.
That's right.
Now, you know Jesus loved everybody. He loved all of them. So there's emphasis there. Why did the scripture point that out, that Jesus loved John?
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a special relationship that Jesus had with John that the others did not have.
Right?
So, said that Jesus loved, and Brother Ram called him the disciple of love. When John the Baptist come back from, or John the Revelator, excuse me, when John, this is not John the Baptist we're talking about, okay? We're talking about John the Revelator.
Right.
John the Revelator, when he was put on the Isle of Patmos and he wrote the book of Revelation, and when he come back from there, he came back to Ephesus, and you can see, Brother Man said all he could say was, children, love one another, love one another, love, love, love.
Yeah.
Right.
If you love, how can you love, say you love God and you don't love the man who you don't see, how, and you don't love your brother who you can see?
Mm-hmm.
Just, you go read it.
Right.
So, John was this disciple of love. All the other disciples were martyred, but they couldn't kill John. They tried and couldn't do it. John died a natural death. I've been to his grave. He died a natural death.
Yep.
Right? What is that speaking of? What is that? A special person. God is not a respecter of persons, but in his unfolding of his plan, he can put things in place that he wants us to notice.
Yep.
And so, this is one that Jesus loved. And so John had a revelation and a relationship that none of the other disciples had. He was the youngest of all the disciples. So after all the rest of them were gone, he was still around.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of bride, at the end time, see, all the other churches have passed off, all that other, but here she is. And so, and she is a type of the bride. I could read many quotes and Brother Ram said, John is a type of the bride. He said, every person that believes this message, this word, John represented them when in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, where it said, come up hither.
Yeah.
John was called up. He said, he represented the entire church, covered the entire bride. And so, and, you know, John, when he was on that Isle of Patmos, he was carried over to our day in spirit and saw this whole entire unfolding of everything. So he got to see what we did, right? And so he wrote about it. And so that's John. So there's characteristics about him. Now, the scripture tells us in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Okay? At least two, right? Sometimes three. And we see in the scriptures where Jesus would take Peter, James, and John. That's three. And when he'd get ready to do something significant, well, he'd grab them and take them. And so like at the raising of Jairus' daughter, he took Peter, James, and John, took them in there. And he took Peter, James, and John up to the Mount Transfiguration.
That's right.
And so Brother Bram called them witnesses. He also called them a camp, right? A camp of believers, a camp of witnesses. Okay, but he showed us that Peter had bold faith. Peter was faith, right? James was hope, and we read there, faith, hope, charity, right? In our scriptures. So Peter, James, and John was faith, hope, and charity, or love. And so you'll see even in their natures. And so the Lord would take, For significant events that was going to happen, he'd take three witnesses that represented us, three witnesses of faith, hope, and charity, Peter, James, and John. And they could be witnesses, and then they could tell and testify of what Jesus did. And so they went, and they were up on Mount Transfiguration, and they saw the Son of God come into adoption. And Brother Ram said that was a preview of the sons of God coming to adoption. So faith, hope, and charity be present,
mm-hmm.
right? So, but in Galatians, now we're going to shift just to John and Peter just for a little bit. So, the book of Galatians says, faith which worketh by love. Okay? So, Peter, bold faith. Peter, faith, would have to have John too. Would have to have John present because John was love.
Yeah.
And so, in order to get Peter sometimes to move out and work, he'd have to have love. But and eventually he came to a revelation of love. I'll show you that. But John would be there, and John could activate Peter. Or Peter would have to turn to John. And so we'll talk about a few of those in just a minute. So, but here's some things I want to make you to try to remember as we do this. We go on. Love knows. Love knows things that the rest don't.
Mm-hmm.
Love can activate faith. Love can activate the gifts. If we have all that without love, we're nothing. So we got to have love.
Yeah.
And so, you know, at the end of things, after Jesus resurrected, remember Peter denied the Lord 3 times, and then there he said, "Peter, do you love me?" Mm-hmm. "Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep." "Peter, do you love me?" 3 times he asked, and Peter got grieved.
Yeah.
Because Peter had bold faith, but faith needs to have love.
That's right.
In order to work right.
Yes.
Peter, with his faith, would cut off the ear of somebody. But if he had love, he'd have never done that.
Yeah.
Right? So faith needs love to properly channel it. Yep. You got to have love.
Mm-hmm.
Been a lot of ministries through all different ages, and they had things and God would do, but they hadn't come to this.
Mm-hmm.
When we come to this, the fullness is all unfolded, and everything works and acts right, and because that which perfect has come. Because now we've reached that message and that unfolding of that word. Then it can all come out and everything be done to give glory to God and not in some part. So you see, Jesus had to bring Peter to love. He said, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?"
Yeah.
So, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, as I've said, they didn't know, but John knew things. So let's just talk about a few. If you go into the scriptures, just save time, but you go into the scriptures, there was a woman that came, brought an alabaster box of ointment,
mm-hmm.
and break it and put it on Jesus' feet. Matthew tells about it, says somebody criticized it.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, yeah, somebody criticized it. Didn't say who, but when John talked about it, John says, yeah, it was Judas. He did it.
Uh-huh.
He's the one, because he was the thief. He was the one that had the bag. He was criticized the fact that could have been sold. And, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke didn't know, didn't say. Their testimony didn't tell it, but John told it.
Right.
Why? Because John, those things, he's showing you here in the scripture that when it comes to that last anointing, that eagle, that love, that John, the things are going to come out. We're going to know things that nobody else in other churches in previous ages could know.
Yeah.
But we're going to know it now.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yeah.
And so, at the Last Supper, they're kind of laying around, and Jesus said, "Yeah, he's gonna betray me." And the scripture said that John was laying there with his head on Jesus' bosom, right? Didn't ever talk about the rest of them doing that,
right?
Because there was a special relationship, and Peter knew that. And Peter wanted to know, who is it that done do this betraying? See, did Peter ask Jesus? Did faith ask Jesus? No, faith turned to John and said, "Hey, love, ask Jesus." Because Peter knew John had that relationship, and John could get that information from Jesus when Peter by himself probably couldn't.
Right.
So Peter asked, asking, "Who is it?" And Jesus tells John,
mm-hmm.
"It's the one who I dipped the sop, dips the sop, gives it to Judas."
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Faith had to go to love to get an answer.
Yeah.
Are you following me?
For
having faith and having gifts and having all that, without love, you're not going to get very far.
Yeah.
But in this day, if you can get love under eagle anointing,
mm-hmm.
you'll see further, fly higher, know more, eat meat, feed your children meat. Newborn people under this message can take more word and receive it than people in all those other churches and ages that have been in there for years and years.
Yeah, right.
Because they're eagles. And I know these are things you've heard before, but just to bring it all together, to show you that God knows how to keep the way of the tree of life. And so, the scripture said, when Jesus was there in the garden, they came and Judas brought all the soldiers. And so Matthew, you know, one of them, somebody cut the ear off of a servant of the high priest. Matthew, Mark, Luke, you know, somebody did it. But John says, Peter did it.
That's right.
Peter cut his ear off. And the name of the servant was Malchus.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
Why? Because John knows more. John has a relationship. Why? Because John is love. And God can give to someone who's got love in their heart, he can give them the whole thing because they won't abuse it.
Right.
But without that, be careful.
Mm-hmm.
He had to limit what he gave to churches prior to this. this.
Yeah.
He had to. But brother, sister, we're in a different hour now.
Yeah.
We're in a different hour. We're not just sitting around crowing about, this is the Bible, this is unfolding of redemption right before us, giving us access to know these things that we couldn't know. And so, after Jesus resurrected, they were out there fishing, and the disciples said, I'm going to go fishing. They all went, Peter, they're all out there fishing, and they caught nothing. And Jesus comes standing on the shore, and they didn't know it was him. And hey, you caught anything? No, he said, let down on the right side, you'll catch them. And they did. And they began to pull that in. And now, keep scripture said things, okay? It's emphasized. It said, John said, it's the Lord.
Yeah.
And Peter's like, whoa! Peter was naked, right? Throws his coat on.
Yeah.
Why? Because love revealed to him that was the Lord.
Yeah.
See, under this message, it will reveal the Lord to you.
Amen.
It'll reveal you to the Lord is here in our presence in a way that people won't catch it, but Lord, love can tell you and you'll know it's Him.
Amen.
But everybody else will miss it.
Yep.
See, an infallible message God has brought to us today to make us a people, a perfect people, by believing a perfect word.
Amen.
Amen. The church ages didn't know. See, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Those ages, those churches during those years didn't know. But now it's been given to the church to know. So that's the difference there. And so the world doesn't want to know. Because why? Because when they come and they encounter this ego message, nonsense. God sent a prophet? My church don't teach that. See, they can't get those. They can't get through the cherubim.
Mm-hmm.
They can't get through the vindicated word. They can't see that that's Him.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean?
Yeah, right.
They can't get access to it
right. Because
of it. Because they're not willing to be vetted by that cherubim.
Mm-hmm.
I've showed you all through the scriptures from beginning to end, God used those cherubims.
Yeah.
That's how He's done it. And we are on the last stage. This way to the tree of life is folding up, isn't He? We're in that last stage. This is how you get there. Believing full words, search it, see if it's not so. Then if it is, embrace it.
Amen.
Let it change your life.
Amen.
This last one is the cherubim. So there's no more redemption after eagle. Not after this move. The eagle represents John, love, one Jesus loved, the bride, perfect revelation, perfect faith in a perfect word that's been revealed.
Mm-hmm.
When that which is perfect has come, the final voice for the final age. That's what this word does,
mm-hmm.
Making a perfect church. There won't be another age because when He raptures this, that's it. That's the Gentile bride. He's found the bride. He don't need it more after that.
Yeah.
It's done. Perfect bride because she's believing the perfect word that's been completed and revealed and unfolded.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
The end. God bless you. Just let the musicians come. And you know what? You all helped me get through it a lot quicker than I thought I was. Praise the Lord. Let's just bow our hearts to Him. Amen. Now I want to ask you now as you have your head bowed. Brother, sister, God's not going to save this world through a bunch of nonsense. It's His word. And we have to embrace that. We have to be willing to take, as John, you know, when he ate the book and it was sweet in his mouth, became bitter in his belly. If you want this sweetness of the access to the tree of life, you've got to be willing to take the persecution that comes with it. I had to turn away. There's my Aunt Mary, I guess she's the only one in my family that disagrees. She agrees. The rest of them disagree. I'll get that right in a minute. But she's the one And the rest of them, I have to deal with the fact that the rest of my family, and a lot of them, some of them preachers and go to church and different things, some of them not, but they all, you know, and I have to bear that. And so, you know, Jesus said, if you're not willing to bear a cross, right, bear your cross, then you're not even worthy of the kingdom of heaven. So, brother, sister, to embrace truth, there's a cross to bear. Well, we've showed you this morning very clearly what God's program is and why we're where we are in this kingdom today. And so, with your heads bowed, I just ask that you realize maybe the Lord has pricked your heart this morning. Maybe you don't know if these things are in the Scripture. But I want to challenge you and ask you that you could be honest with God right now and say, Lord, I don't know, but if what this man has said is right, that I want to know. And Lord, would you help me? Would you give me the unction, the desire to search this out, to pray? Because I want to know truth, Lord. Because I realize that's the way that you're going to save your people is through your word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I ask you to make that commitment this morning. Then carry it through. Don't forget it when you go out the door. Go and ask questions. This ministry is here. Me and Brother Daniel are here for you. We can help you. We can point you and show you where these things are in the Scripture. But you got to be serious with God. This is the way He reveals and saves His people through His Word. Lord Jesus, I pray as your people are praying in their hearts, heads bowed this morning, Lord, or this afternoon, I pray, God, that you meet them in their request now. Lord, don't let the enemy come and steal this away from them. Let them earnestly seek, and when they find, they make a decision, Lord, what they're going to do about this word. Lord, we feel like that this age is quickly closing. We see the things going on. This nation is in such a terrible mess. And Lord, everybody so many of us sleep, they don't realize it. But I pray, God, you'd be merciful and help each one of us, Lord, just to draw them up closer and embrace these things. And Lord, let this message go out to those that are streaming, those that can possibly hear it later. Speak to their hearts. May they understand clearly this is the hour that this thing is about done. Lord, you have a way of bringing your people to you in this rapture. Grant it, Lord, that you bless each one. I pray that their conviction be strong and their commitment to you be true and fervent. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's just worship for a moment or two. We'd love to pray with you if anybody needs prayer. Amen. truth today.
Amen.
Amen. I just appreciate the Lord putting on my heart what to share with you this morning. And I pray that you go with it and treat it serious. Amen. Treat it with all the utmost concern. Brother Branham said, be convinced and then and be concerned.
That's
Amen.
Right.
And so that's what we want to do. Amen. Love each one of you. And just go have a wonderful day of fellowship. It's beautiful outside.
Yes.
I heard we've got some hamburgers and hot dogs coming our way shortly. So just hope everybody's there. If you're not, we're going to come get you.